Michael Libby in the Business News Hour is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, Moving Iowa Forward, iowaabi.org. And Iowa Softwater, softwater for you, your family, and your business starts with iasoftwater.com.
It is always a pleasure to welcome John Hale back to the Business News Hour. John is the owner of the Hale Group, a consulting and advocacy firm that provides thought and action on aging and caregiving issues. And recently, he penned an article carried in the Des Moines Register through A Better Iowa. In it, he talked about three pieces of the caregiving puzzle: the consumer, the family caregiver, and the paid caregiver. We're going to talk about all three. John, welcome back to the News Hour. Good to have you here.
Michael, it is always good to be here. Thanks so much.
It's great to see a friendly face from time to time.
You mean you have people on this show that are not friendly?
In my business, it's great to see a friendly face. John, this was a really interesting article because I think what you did here is you personalized it so well. You know, so many times issues that we face here in Iowa or in any place don't have a face put to the issue, but that's exactly what you did. So let's talk about that. Why?
Well, you know, Michael, I've worked in the public policy arena for about a decade now. And part of that time has been spent doing this work kind of on a professional basis. Mm-hmm. You know, you get paid for doing it and you talk about it. But, you know, you really don't understand some things until you experience it.
Right.
And life is kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriage, love, lots of things that you can talk about. But, boy, you just – until you've been there, until you've done it, you just really don't relate to it. And I think through – as life unfolds, your own personal experiences, parents, loved ones, aging, disability, you see – the real impacts on people in their lives. And I've certainly experienced that. And while I thought I understood the world of caregiving and aging and disability, I really didn't truly understand it until I experienced it.
Mm.
And you live it.
Yeah, you
and
do.
When you live it, it becomes different. It becomes personal. It gets inside you. And not only do you think about that, but you live it and breathe it. And then you start to talk about it differently. You start to preach about it differently, if you want to
use
that word.
Advocate differently.
You advocate differently.
Mm-hmm.
It just becomes, rather than a profession, it becomes a passion.
Mm-hmm. And that's where so many times we can make real policy changes, when it becomes a passion. We've seen that time and time again in any legislature, in any group. Once it becomes personal, I mean, we saw that whole conversation in West Des Moines with regard to medical cannabis, and we're still going to be seeing
Absolutely.
More of that. When it became a passion of the mayor of West Des Moines, then some things started to move differently. Well, let's talk about what it is that you're most concerned about relative to Iowa and relative to caregiving.
You know, when it comes to caregiving, Michael, you have to talk about two different categories. You
mm-hmm.
talk about that the paid caregiver, that person who does this for a living. And you talk about the family caregiver, that informal volunteer support network. And there is one thing that both of those groups have in common, and that is this. There's not nearly enough of them
mm-hmm.
to meet the growing demand for services and supports as people age longer. They live longer and longer and longer. More people with disabilities are leading better and longer lives, but there's more needs for support.
And you've been banging this drum now for years.
Yes, right. Indeed.
So we understand there are not enough caregivers. We're 25,000 fewer than what we ought to have. It puts a severe crunch on economics. It puts a severe crunch on the mental health of family caregivers and the care recipients as well, because if they can't be counted on for who's going to be taking care of them from one day to the next, that's a psychological barrier to getting well or at least maintaining your life. So
well,
what do we
is.
Do? What do we do? Where do we start? How do we fix this?
Well, I tell you, Michael, the bad news is I've been doing this for a long time.
I know.
The good news is things are changing, and it's not just the John Hales of the world that are talking about this and banging the drum and beating on the table. We now have what I think most people regard as a true crisis in the paid workforce, and people are starting to see that there's an emerging crisis in this family caregiving side of things. On the paid caregiving side, for example, employers are now starting to say, we have a significant issue here. We cannot fulfill our mission, and our mission is to provide good services and supports for people if we can't fill vacancies. And the reality is that there are tens of thousands of job vacancies around Iowa in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, home care agencies, hospitals. They cannot find people to do this work. So the reality of this is that it's going to force change. It hasn't forced change in the past because we could always live with whatever the situation was. But now employers are coming to the table and saying, we've got to do something about this.
And when they say we've got to do something about this, is anyone listening?
I think the politicians, our elected leaders, are starting to listen because the groups are getting more and more dispersed, diverse, and larger. In other words, you've got employers talking about it. You got the United Way talking about it. You got the Iowa Caregivers talking about it. You got AARP talking about it. You got the Area Agencies on Aging talking about it. You got hospitals talking about it. You got everybody and their brother are now starting to talk about this issue in a way that's going to prod, if not force, some action.
Now, that action that you'd like to see move forward would be, I suspect, a professionalism of the role of caregivers, maybe some higher pay opportunities. But you've got industry executives out there that are going to fight you on both of those fronts.
The execs have been fighting this in the past because they could somehow always figure out a way to keep people coming in the door and doing this work.
But the churn has gotten
– had a huge amount of churn, but they could always find people to do the work. Now it's a different story. That churn still exists, but they can't find people to do the work, and they recognize we got to do something different. We can't continue to do what we've always done and expect a different result. We're going to have to professionalize this workforce. We're going to have to figure out a way to treat these people better, treat them with a certain amount of respect, which every employee deserves. We're going to have to train them better. We're going to have to pay and benefit them better. In other words, we're going to have to make this job an attractive job, to entice people to come into it, and not only come into it, but view it and treat it as a profession that they can stay in, grow in, and make a good living at.
You know, one of the things that we talk to restaurateurs all the time, John, and they talk about how being a server in a restaurant is no longer necessarily a stopgap measure. These people can make big dollars and have a lovely career for a long time. And they have started to turn the corner in professionalizing serving staff in restaurants, especially the finer restaurants.
Absolutely.
Well, you would think that we would get to that point with caregiving if indeed we really do care about those that we're supposed to be caring for.
I think we've got to get there, Michael, and I really believe we are getting there. There's nothing more important than people's quality of life. Servers in restaurants are awfully darn important. I have a ton of respect for people who do that job well. Caregivers, paid caregivers who do this job well are absolutely priceless. They have skills and abilities that cannot be taught. They have gifts, personal gifts that you just have to marvel at, the ability to be patient and tolerant and do work that a lot of us so-called professional, highly educated people would not and could not do. So I think the time is coming where the respect is going to be there, the pay and benefits are going to be there. We're going to treat these people the way they deserve to be treated and encourage people to come in and stay in this workforce.
John Hale, ladies and gentlemen, from the Hale Group, we are going to do something we have never, ever, ever done on this broadcast. And what we're going to do is we're going to leave you from on the air right now, but we're going to continue our conversation with John Hale for our podcast. Why not? I've never thought about doing this before. So we're going to continue. If you just leave us here on the radio, you can check out this conversation on our podcast with John Hale. All right. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, Tyler Hackenmiller is on the controls tonight. The voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour is Jimmy Olson. The liaison between us and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. Also, the program director is Patrick Wood. The music that you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett. Remember, if you're leaving us now on air, you can pick up the rest of this conversation on our podcast. For all of those folks and our guests, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night. Welcome back to the Business News Hour Extra, if you will. This is an opportunity, if you're listening to the podcast, you know that we just ended our radio broadcast. But what John Hale has to say from the Hale Group is so important, I think so structurally important for all of us here in Iowa that we decided to hold him over for the podcast section of the Business News Hour. And with us once again is John Hale. John, thanks for sticking around. We appreciate this.
You're welcome, Michael.
In the Insight on Business Extra.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
All right. So we've been discussing caregiving in Iowa and the professionalism of caregivers and how that relates to people being cared for as well as the economic impact of those caregivers. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the issue of family caregivers and how both of those things, if we professionalize caregiving and if the person being cared for can count on some structure in their life and being cared for by highly trained professional people, how does that impact the family caregiver?
Oh, boy. You know, all of these things are interconnected. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about this, and I used the analogy of we're in the perfect storm here, where we've got people that are living longer than they ever imagined that they would live, having needs that they would never imagine that they would have. And then, as a result of that, we have a greater need for family caregivers because they're now in a situation where they've got to assist spouse or mom or dad, and they never thought they would have to do that, but, you know, that's the way the world works.
And neither did mom or dad.
And neither did mom or dad. I remember my dad saying once, I never imagined I'd live this long, and I'd never imagined that this would be the way life would unfold and the way life would end. It's difficult, really difficult. So you've got family caregivers who have these growing demands for their time and effort, and they then look to the paid workforce to assist them. Let's take a home care situation, for example. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're trying to provide some services and supports to mom or dad, and they're still living at home and they're struggling, but, you know, you can be there part of the time, but you need somebody else to be there part of the time. And the one thing you depend on is that you depend on those folks. You have to rely on them. You have to have them there when you expect them to be there. You have to have people that you can trust. You have to have people that are qualified. You have to have people that will do the kind of work, perform the kind of services that you want to have performed for mom or dad or that loved one.
And because we don't have enough people in the pipeline,
yes,
as employees, we can't always count on that.
You cannot count on it. And I know so many people who are in that situation, Michael, and it drives them crazy. It drives me crazy to hear about the situations where they simply cannot count on that workforce to be there for them. And so it throws their own life into total turmoil. They are fighting all kinds of battles themselves. They're under tremendous stress. They're juggling all kinds of balls. It is just a really, really difficult situation.
It is, and I can speak with great clarity on that because, as you know, I was the primary caregiver for
Absolutely.
My mother for the 3 years and 7 months that she lived and at the end of her life in my home.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, John, you know, one time she looked at me and as I was taking care of her activities of daily living, which does include bathroom activities.
Sure.
I will be
sure.
forward and honest about that. And my mother is leaning on me as I am assisting her in the cleanup campaign, if you
mm-hmm.
will. And she said to me, she says, Michael, she said, you know, I never, ever thought that our roles would be so reversed.
Yeah. Well, you know, we as humans tend to live in a world of denial.
Denial?
We don't want to think about this stuff.
Yeah.
We just want to assume that, you know, everything's going to be fine. You know, that is the way – that's our default.
Right.
Our human default is to just assume that everything's going to be fine when we intuitively know that things probably aren't always going to be fine. But that makes our lives easier to make those assumptions.
So as we take a look at these three groups, the patient, if you will – the person being cared for, the family caregiver, and the professional caregiver. Can you give us three concrete things that we as citizens in the state of Iowa might want to do to be able to alleviate or assist in alleviating this really terrible situation that we find ourselves in as we move forward? Because, quite frankly, I'm not getting any younger, and neither are you. And if for any other reason, maybe you ought to focus on this for selfish reasons.
Well, you know, that's a really excellent point, Michael. These are not abstract public policy issues. These are real things that affect you, me, Tyler, everybody listening out there. Their life, if it hasn't been affected yet, it will be affected down the road. These are universal issues. So if there are three things I would advocate, it's this. It's advocate, advocate, advocate. People need to get engaged in this issue, and the time is right to do it.
And how can we get engaged?
To get engaged in this simply means to talk, to write, to communicate to those people who are in a position to do things about it. If you don't know who your state legislator is, find out. Give them a call. Send them an email. Just tell them your story. Here's my situation. Here's what I encountered. Here's what I want and need you to do. They need to hear from folks because they're starting to hear from a lot of employers. They're starting to hear from a lot of advocacy groups and organizations. But, you know, they really need to hear from their constituents. That's the thing you hear up at the Capitol a lot, mm-hmm. is that they're hearing from all these organizations. They're hearing from this person, that person. But, you know, I need to hear from my constituents about this. Those are the people that have got to get engaged. They can help move this needle. Without them, it's going to be awfully tough mm-hmm. to do so.
Mm-hmm. Because it's perceived that everybody has their own built-in gimme.
There you go. All the folks that show up at the Capitol have a vested interest
right
in
there.
Something. Mm-hmm. And I hear legislators tell me this all the time, and I think it's a perfectly valid response. I wonder what the folks back home are thinking about this.
Uh-huh.
I need to hear from them about this. So that's the role that everyone in this state can play. If you're interested in the issue, if you've been touched by this issue, if you think you're going to be touched by this issue, if you know somebody who has, get engaged in this. Make that call. Send an email. Just do something that prods, pokes, pushes legislators into action.
You know what would really be good? If somebody created a one-page handout, a one-page PDF that was on somebody's website that says, okay, here are three things that you could do almost immediately so that you can move forward and move this conversation forward. So that's your homework assignment.
There you go. And we also need to, you know, thank a caregiver when you see one.
Oh, boy.
When you have good caregivers that are assisting mom and dad or a loved one, spouse, whomever, thank them. Tell them, go out of your way to say, you know what? I appreciate the work you do, and I appreciate how you do it. You're a rarity. I really respect you. That's important.
It is important. And sometimes, in my past history in caregiving, not only for my parents, but also professionally, we weren't able to pay people a great deal of money
at
Friendship Haven up in Fort Dodge because Medicaid was limiting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in the state of Iowa is limiting in their Medicaid reimbursement. Let's face it.
Yep.
And so we weren't able to do that, but we were able to at least give me attaboys from time to time and praise the work of the people that are putting themselves on the front lines.
You know, one of the other things that needs to be done, Michael, is state government needs to start thinking in a business-like way. And by that, I mean this. We need to start paying for what we want. What you get is what you pay for. What you pay for is what you get. And right now, and historically, state government has always paid providers for the volume of services that they provide. State government doesn't care whether those services are
of good quality, of horrible quality.
You're going to get paid the same.
Mm.
Now, so the incentive is there to just create a lot of widgets. You know, the more widgets you make, the more you're going to get paid. If we shifted gears from a state policy perspective and started paying every provider, nursing homes, assisted living, home care agencies, hospitals, for the quality of care they provide, for the customer satisfaction they produce – you're going to see differences in the way those employers start to act and behave. In other words, they're going to now have – the incentive has changed. The incentive for them is now to hire the best people they can and work their butts off to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to start paying people more. They're going to have to start treating them differently. They're going to have to start paying them better. Anything that any great employer would do to hire the best and keep the best.
Oh, my. Yelp for caregiving.
It doesn't seem complicated.
It doesn't.
If you just start thinking about this and you look at incentives, and one of the greatest things I ever heard a person say, it was so simple, but he said, everything in the world can be explained in one word. Everything in the world can be explained in one word, and that word is incentives. What incentives exist? What incentives don't exist? Human behavior can be explained that way. How businesses operate or don't operate can be explained with the incentives that exist. Right now, we have the exact opposite incentive that we want to have in state government. We pay for volume. We don't care about quality. Let's reverse that. Let's pay for quality. And if we pay for it, we're going to get it.
We're going to get it. John Hale, ladies and gentlemen, from the Hale Group on the News Hour Extra, outside of our broadcast and only in the podcast. John, thanks for hanging around and doing this.
Absolutely a pleasure. Love to do it.
And we will get this up on our podcast page and share it on social media. If you have an issue with regard to this, you can look John up. It's the Hale Group. The Hale Group is located in Ankeny. All right, we've got to clear out for all the folks associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour. Thanks so very much for listening to the News Hour Extra. And for John Hale from the Hale Group, thanks for coming in again. All right, we're backing out. Have yourself a wonderful day, and let us know what your thoughts are. You can reach us, of course, on Twitter at @IOB_NewsHour. We have a Facebook page, of course, and an Instagram page. And, of course, you can always reach us by phone. My direct line is 515-331-3207. For all of us with the Business News Hour, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good night.